process of developing to and training to black belt. And it's been a very, very exciting month and quarter for us. We've produced an awful lot of new black belts, including our most recent prep cycle fall of 2000 team, with an awful lot of new black belts ranging in age from as young as 6 all the way up into the 40s and 50s and even 60s. But what we want to do is we want to have some information to help all of our students understand the process of developing to black belt, what's involved with that, how the processes unfold, and how the structure of our curriculum and also the structure of the requirements for commitment and so forth work in order to accomplish that. So we're going to make every effort to answer, you know, every conceivable question and then some today, and also to make sure that the process is thoroughly explained. And maybe I can start from the beginning. The reason we're doing these teleconference series is, as anyone who's been at our recent extravaganza or intramurals knows, we have had just an explosion of new students this last few months, and it starts to get overwhelming for our staff to be able to communicate effectively on a one-on-one basis with everyone and fully explain in a very clear way. So what we're going to work on doing, and I'm going to try to accomplish it as much as possible, and then share questions and answers with our staff and with students tuning in, is just every way that the program unfolds, how the process works, and give a real clear understanding of how things go with the program. First off, some foundational basics. Probably anyone listening to this call already understands this, but just some foundational basics is, number one, is typically it takes 36 to 48 months to get to black belt from starting in our martial arts program, another 30 months on average to go from first degree to second degree black belt. And what we do with all students is everybody starts with a trial in the school, and it's a short opportunity to get started in the program with no long-term commitment or obligation, predominantly so that two things can happen simultaneously. Number one, so that for a child, the parents can evaluate our school, our program, the overall philosophy of what we're trying to accomplish, look at how the program unfolds, and of course we've created an awful lot of tools and resources in order to understand that, including the marvelous DVD we shot at our Breckenridge Black Belt Test. But what we want to do is have the parents really do some due diligence on our school, make sure that they feel comfortable that over a long-term process, that if their child starting at 7 when they got to be 10 or 11, or starting when they're 10 when they got to be 13 or 14, if getting to black belt would be in sync with their family values, their long-term outcomes that they're interested in, and really is something they have both an interest and an aptitude for. The second thing that we want to be doing in that trial basis is, frankly, our instructors are evaluating each family and looking for interest, aptitude, capability, and also really looking to figure out whether we're comfortable with making the commitment on our end for a commitment to black belt. So we're always looking to make sure that we feel comfortable with a long-term commitment, with having somebody become a part of our family in the long term. Clearly, we've generated hundreds of black belts, and those individuals, once they get to black belt, really do become part of the family on a long-term basis. So we want to evaluate and make sure that we feel, one, 100% committed to get the child and the family to black belt, and number two, that we're really, really convinced that it's something that we're willing to put the time and effort and sweat equity into making sure that, whether it's for a child or an adult, that we're going to be really good at the follow-through and really good at making sure that that person gets to black belt. So we start with the trial enrollment so that we have the opportunity for the family to evaluate, do some due diligence on Mile High Karate and the program and the structure of the curriculum. Two, so we have an opportunity to really get to know someone much better than we're going to have an opportunity to in just one or two lessons. But the evaluation process, fastest paced, goes over the first couple of weeks and more typically over the first month or two, to make sure we feel really comfortable with that level of follow-through and that level of commitment, because it's a huge commitment on the part of our instructors and a huge commitment on the part of Mile High Karate, obviously, to work with somebody for 3 or 4 years, bring them into our black belt family, and then really commit to work with them in martial arts for life at that point. So that's the initial stage. And again, this is just foundational information. But we start with that trial basis so that both sides have a chance to evaluate and really build some relationship, build some rapport, and decide whether we're comfortable with that or not. Then at the early stages, we are having the instructors evaluate both in a family situation, both the child and the parents, looking to make sure we feel comfortable with that commitment, and then recommending a choice of processes to get to black belt. And again, at that point, we have found that there really is one of two decisions that a family can make at that point. Decision one is they're going to train for a year, and they're going to go on to some other activity, and martial arts is going to have been a wonderful experience, but not a lifestyle, not a long-term life-changing event. Number two is they're going to make a definite decision, commit to, train to, and follow through to black belt. If a family makes that decision, our success rate has been almost 100%. Pretty much anyone who at white belt or gold belt decides as a family that they definitely, unequivocally, without a doubt, are going to be a black belt, will be a black belt. What we have also found is that, unfortunately, parents and kids hate to make a commitment and hate to have their feet held to the flame with a long-term goal. And what a lot of people do is they try to cop out and say, well, I'm going to keep training for a while. I'm going to follow through with taking class, and I like class, and we're enjoying it, but we're just going to wait and see what happens. And we decided long ago to force a commitment and force the decision to either, yes, I'm going to be a black belt, or no, I'm not, because looking at thousands of students over the years, what we have found is anyone who says, maybe I will, and I'm going to wait and see, one, never gets their black belt, which means they fail by default, as opposed to making a conscious decision to train for a year and go on to something else, or make a conscious decision to be successful with this. So as a foundational understanding, what we always want to do is we want to start with an initial trial, look at evaluating in the first few months, sometimes the first few weeks if somebody's doing really well. In the worst case, look at the evaluation over the first month or two as a white belt. And then everyone decide whether it's a reasonable goal, a reasonable commitment to follow through and to be a black belt. Now, certainly, we have about 75% of the students that we look at that we're in all likelihood going to be willing to make a commitment for and to work with. We have about 25% that we just decide that's not appropriate. And so we don't end up with everybody who starts in the school on a trial basis training either in our master club or in our leadership to train to black belt. But we do end up with a pretty good percentage, and the ones who do make that commitment and for whom we make the commitment inevitably will be black belt. So it's a long-term strategy to work together to be very successful. Now, the next thing about that is, and some of the questions that parents ask oftentimes, is they ask if they start training in the process to black belt, what's the probability of their 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, or 12-year-old of actually following through and being a black belt? And sometimes the concern is, one, can my 9-year-old really be a black belt? Concern number two is, can I really be committed to, and can I really be confident as that they're going to continue to be interested and be focused on training? So you've got question one is, can that child at their level of aptitude and their level of capability, can they really be a black belt? And number two is, what if the child loses interest at some point? And both of those questions are pretty easy to follow and understand. We've had black belts as young as 6. We've had black belts as old as 76. We have a process where the developmental process to black belt isn't dependent upon what somebody's age is. In fact, what we find is the younger a child starts, the better their end outcome is going to be. Now, what will happen in the first 6-9 months, they're not going to look like they're learning as fast as some of the older kids. But if a child starts when they're 4 or 5, really they're learning more stuff more quickly at that age, and it takes 12 to 18 months to really come together, and then all of a sudden they're their end outcome when they're a black belt at 6, 7, or 8 years old is just phenomenal. But the other question I think is more illuminating, which is, how can I know that my young child is always going to be interested in this? How can I be sure they're not going to lose interest? How can I be sure they're going to follow through? And the presumption in that question is oftentimes the parent's perspective about the program. Because we start with, this isn't like a seasonal sports activity. It's not recreational. It's not like swimming. It's not like soccer. But this is a school. And if the child and the parents treat this as a school with a curriculum, with testing processes, with long-term outcomes, then it's no more difficult for a child to go from second grade in school to fifth grade in school as it would be to go from beginner to first-degree black belt. And it's no more difficult to go from first-degree black belt to second-degree black belt than it would be to go from fourth to sixth grade. What it requires is a commitment on our instructor's part and a commitment on the parent's part that this is going to be treated like any other school, and there's going to be a regular follow-through and regular participation, and the program is going to unfold on a consistent basis. And over the years, with the hundreds of black belts we've had that have been under 12, what we have found is that every one of them had some day when they said to their mom or dad they'd rather be out playing softball in the spring, or they'd rather be playing Xbox or Nintendo rather than go to karate class. And as long as there was a regular and consistent twice-a-week attendance pattern, and as long as the parent said, well, put that away, we're going to go to karate now, it's your karate day, then those kids are just as likely to get to black belt and have no gaps in their attendance or participation. But we're gonna get a little bit more interactive with several of our instructors here. I know we have Master Lewis on the line, we have Mr. Young on the line, Mr. Bowser. What other instructors do we have on the line here with us?
Mrs. Bowser.
Okay, we have Daphne Bowser.
Hey, you do have Master Lewis.
We have Master Lewis, excellent.
Yeah, Frank Brown.
And we have Frank Brown. Several of them have put themselves on mute here for a second while I was pontificating.
Yes, sir.
Let's walk through and I know we have some others that haven't spoken up yet, but Master Brown, how old were you when you started in martial arts?
I was 7, sir.
You were 7 years old. Master Lewis, how old was Laquita when she started?
Laquita was 3.5 when she started, sir.
How about Brandon?
And Brandon was 3.5 as well.
Okay. And how about Natasha?
Natasha was 6.
Was 6. Okay.
Yes,
so
sir.
You've had the experience of two 3.5-year-olds and a 6-year-old all getting to their black belt.
Yes, sir.
And before any of the parents think that there's an argument to be made, but of course you're running a martial arts school, Brandon has developed through the process to some extent while you've been running the Lakewood School's head instructor. But actually, Natasha and Laquita started before you did, correct?
Yes, sir. They were a red belt when I was a white belt.
So there you go. Well, don't you wish you'd started with them?
I really do.
Yeah.
I really do.
So, you know, talk to us. Let's talk about Laquita. Talk to us about Laquita and or Brandon in the process of starting a 3.5-year-old and then following through to black belt.
Okay. When Laquita first started, she was real shy. She didn't want to get involved on the floor. We had to leave the school because she would cry. She wanted to be with Daddy. She was a Daddy's girl. And as she grew up, she didn't catch on as fast as Natasha. Natasha would catch on with the kicks. She would catch on with everything else. Laquita was just a little ninja. Well, at that time we called them little dragons. She was a little dragon, and she was just going at her own little pace. But as Laquita developed, she passed Natasha, believe it or not. She caught her and passed her because of testing for black belt. Laquita was really, really serious in the martial arts when she was about 6 years old. And she received her black belt when she was 6.5. So that the transition from 3.5 to 6.5 was unbelievable. There's nothing else in this world I could have gotten them involved in to seeing such a change in my kids at that time. At that time, I was a single parent trying to raise 2 girls, and putting them in martial arts was definitely a choice well made. And as far as Brandon, when Brandon was coming up through the ranks, he was we were already black belts, and to see him, he was a stud. He was different. He was just one of those boys that wanted to do everything. That was the difference between Laquita and Brandon. He was a boy, and I was used to raising girls. And when he would get up there and do things, he would just, like, he would catch on like it was nothing. So he was a natural, but that was because he grew up. He was a baby when we were first degrees, and he just, like, saw it. He was part of it.
Yeah, in his case, he grew up in it. But I think Laquita and Natasha are an interesting case example for most of the parents that are going to be listening in and trying to evaluate for their own child. In the process through with both girls, did you find days that they didn't want to go to karate or that they fighted you along the way? And how did you find their interest building or waning as they went through the process?
Yes, sir. As a matter of fact, I was talking to a parent tonight, and they were looking at Miss Lewis. She's a fourth degree now, and they were saying, well, did she ever want to quit? I go, well, yes, she did. And his parents said, well, will my kid ever want to quit? I go, like, absolutely, they will want to quit. There will be times they just want to give up. But then you as the coach, you need to weigh that. You need to be the coach. There are going to be times they're going to want to quit elementary school, and there are going to be the time, mom, that you did not want to go to work. But do you give up? No, you don't give up. You go on. When Laquita was about a blue belt, she was like, Daddy, I really don't want to go anymore. I'm going to, but I coached her through it. Now, you might say, well, I don't want to make my kid do anything. You're not making them. Parents, we know what is best for our kids. And I made the decision that this was best for Laquita. So we would say, okay, you go once a week, and then eventually her interest got back. So from blue to high blue to red, she was up and down, up and down. By the time she hit red, she was back on the bandwagon. I go, thank God I did not let her quit. What if I had let her quit? She would not be where she is today right now. She would not be a fourth-degree black belt. She would not have the opportunity in high school to know more than her instructors. And that's unbelievable for me.
Yeah, that's incredible. How did you monitor both girls' interest and their follow through and their development as they went through the process?
Well, Laquita was she being the baby and she was the shy one, and we had some instructors that really took them under their wings, and the same way we do that with our students here at Lakewood, we take our little ninjas, we take them under their wings if they're shy. We work with them to try to get them out of that shyness, make them feel good about what they're doing. But where Natasha was a little bit better prepared than Laquita's, of course, she was 6 years old, and she knew why she was there. Natasha was being bullied in school, so she wanted to have the confidence to stand up to these girls that was hitting her in the face and slapping her around. So that was something that she wanted. So to keep her in was no big deal. And she went all the way. I kept her in all the way. Well, she stayed in all the way until she was almost a second degree. I think she's like a second blue on the third degree. But then there's Laquita who went all the way. She never gave up. She never quit. She's still continuing to train and develop as a martial artist. But monitoring Laquita at that time was I had my doubts on Laquita, but not Natasha. I knew she would go on.
And back when you were making those decisions, you were committing for, paying for, single dad of two daughters. It was a big time commitment, financial commitment. How would you evaluate the way you felt at the time making all those commitments and the way that you feel looking back at it?
Well, these are good questions. I can remember as if it was yesterday, and we were paying the tuition. I'm going, girls, you guys better get something out of this, man, because if we're going to commit to this, we're committing all the way. And as a parent, you can say that in the beginning and mean it, but then when your kids say, Daddy, I want to quit, you need to be able to stand up and say, no, you're not quitting, because you're now setting the example for them the rest of their lives. And and as I was paying the tuition, I would go, oh, my God, I could be driving a Corvette. Man, oh, my goodness. And then I got involved, so the tuition went up even further. But, yes, I had to sit back and evaluate whether this is going to be something long-term, was it really going to be good for them long-term. And as a white belt and a gold belt and a father and as a single parent, You hope that you are making the right decision. And other parents had told me, put your kids in martial arts, it would change their life. But when your kid is a white belt and a gold belt, you don't see that. Okay? If I could have seen when they were a white belt and a gold belt what they are now, the money would have been no problem. I would have borrowed the money. I would have I wouldn't have stole it, but I would have found somehow to come up with the tuition to get them to where they are right now. And it breaks my heart whenever I see one of our kids that we pour our hearts into, and they quit at about red belt and about especially brown belt. I'm going like, man, you're so close. Just go all the way to black belt, and you see a change in you. It's just like a caterpillar becoming a butterfly. They totally change. I watched Laquita at 6.5 years old just bloom and blossom. I watched Natasha at 8.5, 9 years old bloom and blossom. Now both girls are in college. I think I made a great decision, great investment.
Yeah, and going back to that point in time, and I actually remember that when you made the decision. I don't think I remember when I did. It had been a long time ago. But when you actually made that decision, just so people don't feel like they're alone in this, did you have some fear, concern, trepidation, and even some resistance to the process at the time?
Oh yes, sir, absolutely. Like I say, they were high blue belts at the time, and I had an opportunity to get involved with a class one night on the floor with the girls. I think with Master Brown. Master Brown say, come out on the floor, Mr. Lewis, and join in with your kids, him and one of your other instructors, Dave Adams. I go, okay. So I get out on the floor, and I worked out a little bit, and I realized that, and I thought I was in good shape. I would go to the gym. I walked all day in the restaurant business, and, man, I could not get out of bed the next day. So I said, man, I'm going to try this. This must be really, really good. It made me use some muscles that I never used before. So, of course, when I went in, I approached Mr. Adams, and I was – man, I was nervous, a mailman at a dog show. And I said, I want to do this.
A mailman at a dog show. I haven't heard that one.
I said, I want to do this. And he said, well, before you change your mind, let me give you a uniform. And I remember today, I walked up to Laquita, and I was excited. I go, look, Laquita, I am a white belt. She said, no, Daddy, you are a no belt. You have to earn your white belt. Can you imagine a five-year-old looking her dad in the eye and saying, no, Daddy, you have to earn your white belt. You know, well, she was a high blue belt, of course, at that time.
Oh, my goodness.
But then, coming through the process, I was so nervous. I was an adult. I was 40 years old when I started. I was an adult. Okay, and then to get out there and yell, to say, yes, sir, come on. I was this educated, college-graduated adult. I was afraid all the way through, and I still get a little nervous when I'm put on the spot. But, yes, it was a learning experience for me.
Let's talk about this, and I want to give all of our instructors a chance to, specific pointed questions that parents have asked this week for us to walk through all the answers to any of those questions and open it up for anything that we haven't answered. But I know one of the dads was talking to me just the other day, and he said, how can it be possible that a 9-year-old is really a black belt? I mean, can a 9-year-old kick a 40-year-old's butt was basically the gist of the question. How do you explain to parents, and how do you think of what is a 9-year-old black belt or a 6-year-old black belt at, for that matter?
As far as...
Well, can a 6-year-old really be a black belt?
Oh, absolutely. At their level, they can be a black belt, but you wouldn't expect a 6-year-old to be able to kick a 40-year-old butt. That's not a good match. But as far as maturity-wise, intellectually, a 6-year-old is just as much as a black belt as I was when I got my black belt. They knew as much knowledge. Of course, I perform at my level, and that 6-year-old would perform at his level.
In other words, a 6-year-old was a heck of a lot better than you were.
Oh, absolutely. And I tell parents that today. I said, when you going through with your kids, when they receive that black belt, they will know more than you because they don't have to worry about feeding them.
I was joking with Mr. Bowser and Mr. Young recently because I've been out in some of the elementary schools with them, and I turned to them one day. I said, God, I didn't think kids act like this. And they said, well, you've just been spoiled because you've been hanging around 100 black belts all the time and haven't been hanging around the rest of the kids around the area. And it's certainly true. We have these events, the Black Belt Weekend retreats, and we have the intramurals and extravaganza. And you can tell the black belts are such a radical departure from what the norm is in the schools and what the general behavioral standards. Talk about that with what happened with Laquita, Natasha, and what you've seen.
As far as their being matured against at same age, same level as a non-black belt?
Oh, absolutely, and their performance in school and the confidence they have and how that carries over into everything else they do.
Okay. As the kids got to be about a black belt, like I say, you change it, black belt. You develop respect. You understand what we mean when we say respect others and how to show that respect. And I'd watch my girls, they were humble, if that is the correct word. They had no problems. Natasha had no bullies at all. And I watched Laquita. She went through high school. We moved from Aurora to Lakewood. She went from Rangeview High School, where she had grown up with all the kids from the same little neighborhood. They went from elementary school to high school. And when we came to when we moved to Lakewood, she went to Green Mountain. And the respect that she had as a senior was unbelievable. I didn't get this from Laquita. I got it from parents, teachers. We have coaches that have their kids here at Lakewood. And Coach Dick walked up to me one day. He said, I just want to tell you, I am proud of Laquita. I go, why? He said, there was a bunch of boys horsing around, pulling girls' hair in the hallways. And Laquita walked by, and she said, cool it, guys. And they started to turn around and say something to her, and they turn around and go like, oh, yes, ma'am. It's just that respect that she had. Not that she had to tell everybody that I'm a black belt. It was the way she carried herself. She walked with pride. She walked with confidence. And grades, I had to worry about grades. We tell them from the very beginning, you're going to be a black belt. You must maintain a B average. Now that she's in college, I mean, so am I, but I spend like hours of studying. I haven't gone for 30 years. She's in college, and she's like, you got homework? Oh, my homework is done. You got homework? Oh, my homework is done. It's just that attitude that she has. She has the sense of urgency to get things done, and I think this have a lot to do with that she is a black belt and the training that we teach our black belts that, hey, you need to be proactive. Get things done. Don't wait till the last minute to accomplish something. So, and I hope she keeps that all the way through. Same way with Brandon.
Yeah.
Brandon, he's ahead of his homework. He's ahead of it. If it's due on Friday, it's done on Monday.
Yeah. You know, let's go back to, and I talked about this a little bit in prefacing and giving some background, but some of the questions that, we had the instructors come up with a list of questions that they've had from parents recently, and one of them was, why do I have to make a decision as a white belt on whether I'm going to train the black belt or not? You know, why can't I do this for a year or two or 3 years and then make a decision? And it's both an empirical proof that we have run the numbers over the years, and again with thousands of students taking a look at this, but we also know it from just our instinctual working with students. The ones that are committed, and it's got to be the parents and the child is committed, and it's got to be the instructors committed to the family. They're the ones that actually get all the things that we promise, right? I mean, what we do when a new student comes in the doors, or when a new parent is talking to us about the program, we make some pretty heady promises. We say, your child, no matter what age, when they're a black belt, is going to walk with their head high, and they're going to be confident in any situation. We say they'll most likely be a straight-A student. If not, they'll be performing at the absolute upper end of their own aptitudes and capability. We say that they'll be confident with themselves physically. Now, that doesn't mean they're going to be able to take on a gang of five adults downtown, but they're going to be confident of their capabilities physically. Again, a 9-year-old is not going to end up in a fist fight with a 35-year-old and come out on top, no matter what rank they are. But we also are very clear in the emotional development, the level of discipline and focus and confidence, but there's just an aura that the kids that are black belts have that nobody else has. And it's interesting because it's confident but not cocky. And it's humble but not shy. And it's polite without being, being deferential to authority or to adults, but polite without being having low self-esteem. So it's a high self-esteem, high self-concept aptitude for success without being, the type of cocky that some people associate with all of that. And I think sometimes it's difficult for parents to understand, though, why it's so important to make a commitment at an early stage. How would you explain that?
Like you said in the very beginning, if you're not committed to a goal, then you won't make that decision. And I think that the earlier you make a decision that, hey, we are going to do this, the more committed that child will be. And if the parent is behind the child will be committed. Now, of course, like I said, there will be times, and I tell the kids, there will be times that you will not want to come to class because you want to stay and play with your friends. But understand this, your friends will be there when you get back after your class. So I would say white belt, that's when you're most excited. Make that commitment. The earlier, the better. Don't wait. I've seen people wait till they're a blue belt and say, I'm going to make the decision to be a black belt at blue belt. No, if you wait till you're a blue belt, you're just going to be a blue belt.
Yeah.
And you don't want to do that. The earlier, the better. Set that goal.
Well, and what we teach, and of course we teach the kids a lot about goal setting, but there's no such thing as a really big goal that's not without some obstacles. Whether that's to be a straight-A student or whether it's to climb Mount Everest or anything in between. And if you don't have your eye on a really exciting, empowering long-term goal, then the short-term day-to-day obstacles suddenly seem big and insurmountable. But if you've got your eye focused on that big, long-term, exciting goal, then those day-to-day obstacles fade away into oblivion. And there are going to be obstacles on the way to any goal, including getting a black belt. There's going to be times that a form is difficult to master or it's confusing. There's going to be times that, like you talked about as an adult, that you're sore and you don't necessarily feel like going to exercise today. And there's going to be all kinds of other little obstacles that may come up. But if a child is focused on being a black belt, and the parents are focused on that child being a black belt, then the day-to-day stuff doesn't mean that much. I think back to you're working on your MBA now, and I did mine, but when I was at Georgetown, I think back to if your goal in college wasn't really to be a graduate and to get that bachelor's degree and perhaps go on to grad school or whatever your career is going to be beyond that, then midterms really seem insurmountable. But if you're focused on the outcome, on the graduating, then the midterms are just one more obstacle and one more thing that you have to go through in order to get to the long-term outcome. So it's not as difficult, and it certainly doesn't psychologically feel nearly as difficult. Let's talk about, because this is a relatively new implementation for us, the difference between leadership and master club is, the way I've been explaining it is that what we have been doing for 22 years is we've been doing an incredibly strong leadership program. Except that most of what we're now teaching in the leadership program, we were teaching at second, third, fourth degree black belt. We weren't teaching it to students under black belt. And I look at all of our instructors, and the intramural was exciting because we had 12 rings running. We had 3 black belts in each ring. We had 36 black belts out there on the floor, and actually, probably 2 or 3 times that many at any one time, out there running on the floor. And each instructor that we had out there is phenomenal. And they're a product of the leadership program in the way that we've run it in the past. And now we're running it so that starting as early as level 1, which is orange, green, purple, and blue belt, the curriculum that used to be taught at second degree black belt is now being taught into the orange, green, purple, and blue belt level. So it's a dramatic and exciting way to accelerate the process. And what we're seeing is somebody now, by the time they're brown or black belt, will have the same leadership skills as we used to have at third degree black belt. Talk a little bit about that, Master Lewis. I mean, it's been a phenomenal transition that we've seen, and of accelerating the pace even of the black belts now.
Yes, that is true. And when I sit down and I talk to my parents, I tell them the reason why I suggest leadership is because, like you were just saying, we used to get leadership at second degree. And I tell them, hey, if myself and Miss Lewis had to start training in leadership back when we were a gold belt, just think where we would be right now. We did not start getting this type of training until we were second degree black belts, second degrees. And then from second to fourth degree, we just probably just completed all the stuff that you guys are going to have by the time you are a first degree black belt. this is unbelievable, but the knowledge that you're given, getting, I mean, the persuasion skills, the leadership skills, the public speaking skills, not to mention the advanced curriculum, the advanced weaponry. I mean, you're learning so much and you're developing. And I tell them, say, at the end of every class, that's 15 minutes. Think about it. In 15 minutes, in 5 years, you could be a master of anything, any one subject. So if you study leadership, by the time your child is a first-degree black belt, almost a second-degree black belt, they will know stuff that mom and dad that you never even thought of in your daily work life.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. And we have some parents who are high-level professionals, training huge staff of people themselves in their company, who are picking up the same books and the same training materials that we're working with the 9-year-olds and carrying it back to their companies. So it's a pretty exciting thing, and it's very advanced process that we've worked with many experts both in education and psychology and leadership overall to put those pieces together. Let's change gears here just for a second, and we don't want to go on forever here, but it's a very exciting topic, I know, for all of our instructors and for you and I. Let's talk about this. We've had, I know, a couple parents who have wondered, why are we so focused and so concerned with the concept of black belt? And why do all of our instructors, and I know they all do, why are all of our instructors so, hectically pitching the concept to the kids and to the parents that they want to be a black belt? I mean, let's give your perspective, and I'll give my perspective on that, and why it's such a strong point of focus for all of our instructors.
My take on that is that black belt is the beginning of your training. And by the time you go from white belt to black belt, you're going to learn just a basic knowledge of what it takes to be somebody important. And when you step into that black belt hood, and that's what we want everybody to do, when we tell everybody we are a black belt school, because we know that once you hit there, your whole level of thinking is totally different. It's kind of like if you were coming, graduating from high school, going into college. When you get out of high school and go into college, your level of thinking is no longer high school. The way that you go back in a year, you go back and you look at the high school people, how they act, you go like, man, that is so childish. Your level of thinking increases. You rise above the masses. You see the bigger picture at black belt. So from first degree to second degree, it is a totally different world. And we just want everybody to step into that world, step in there and see it. And black belt is recognized all over the world. And everybody knows that if you achieve a black belt, you have done something. It is something that was not given to you. It's the same as when you get a college degree from a reputable college. They know that you have done something. You worked your tail off to get that, and they respect that.
Yeah, and you have the other element as well, is that with our particular organization, it's very much like getting a degree from Harvard or from Oxford or from Stanford. It's the organization itself is, and therefore the degree conferred is internationally recognized as a standard of excellence. So that's a wonderful benefit that our students have, is that level of recognition. Another way that I like to think about it, and I just want to leapfrog off what you said, Mr. Lewis, is our instructors are really no different in their focus than a really good high school teacher would be, or a really good college professor, or a really good teacher in any other venue. And if I have my child at a quality high school with a quality teacher, I want them to be selling my child on two things very strongly. One is I want them to be selling my child on following through with high school and getting a high grade point average and going on and pursuing my education at a higher level. And the really good teachers out there are constantly focused on their children's success and getting them to the next level and getting them to a higher level. Clearly, if I'm a college professor, I want to be selling the kids on the value of applying themselves to their studies, setting some long-term goals with their career, and whether it's to go on to graduate training after their college degree, or whether it's to get their college degree and go on to their next career step. I want that professor to be selling my child on following through with college and taking the next step and setting the long-term goals. And our instructors are no different. Being successful in martial arts is not training for 50 classes and then dropping out, but being successful in martial arts is setting a goal initially to be a first-degree black belt, then setting a goal for a martial arts lifestyle, which is the character and the integrity and the perseverance, as well as the confidence and the physical skills development. So all of our instructors are focused on the child being truly successful in the school, as well as developing all the traits and the talents and the outcomes that we're promising on a regular basis. So I look at it that way as well, is that, you know, our role of our all of our instructors is to push, pull, and motivate the kids to get, and to the adults as well, to get to the highest level of excellence within martial arts as they're capable of becoming. Anything to add to that?
No, sir, not at this time.
Okay. Let's talk about a couple of other questions that I've had recently, or a couple of our other of our instructors are had. I'll let the rest of the instructors chip in to anything that we haven't covered so far. One was, in fact, I had right here, a parent was asking me about the tuition and the structure of the tuition, and I guess they had a perception that maybe it was a lot of money to get to your black belt and beyond. And I want to get your take on this, but the way I think about it is we only have one challenge, and our challenge is to get each of the parents to imagine what the future looks like when their child, 3 or 4 years from now, steps out on that stage at the extravaganza, walks into class, has a black belt on, and has achieved everything that a black belt entails. And then to put a value on the education that over the last 3 years after they've achieved their black belt, what that was worth. And so we start with, we have never in history, and this goes back 22 years and before that, my time at the Junior Institute, never had anybody achieve their black belt who felt like the time, effort, and money wasn't worth the effort.
I didn't even tell you that.
In fact, they've always felt like it was worth 5, 10, 15, 20 times the effort. And 5, 10, 15 times the financial commitment. But I think a lot of times the parents don't understand the structure of the financial commitment and also the long-term value of the program, and they look at it in the wrong way. And as we've looked at structuring the program and structuring the tuition as it goes with it, we've done two pieces with it. And one is the actual Master Club process, going through the curriculum, the first degree and second degree, and then picking up the leadership skills at second degree the way we've done it historically. The actual commitment through to black belt, the true monthly cost of the program, actually ends up being less than what our trial enrollment is. And the overall, tuition per lesson goes down even more dramatically. The leadership program is a bump in the monthly tuition and is a bump in the per lesson cost. And then we have a couple of different ways of structuring it. What most of the parents do is they end up figuring out how to pay one payment on the program. And the reason they do that is that we pay a billing company to do the accounting and to follow up on the billing, so our instructors don't have to. In fact, anything we can get out of having to deal with at the schools that doesn't entail actually teaching the kids and helping them get to black, but we're trying to farm it out. But we pass on the savings that the billing company charges us, plus give an additional 20% discount, so most parents are actually able to lower their payments, not increase their payments, by at least going through the Master Club process. Obviously, there's an awful lot more value added to the leadership. Master, let's talk about your perception from both sides, as a parent struggling, as a single parent struggling with two kids, and then now looking back at several hundred black belts that you've worked with over the years.
as a parent, when I was coming up through the ranks, and we were white tops, and at that time we had a program called the Black Belt Club, and that was a red top. My girl said, "Dad, I want the red top." I go, "Well, what's the red top?" He said, "Well, that means I want to be a black belt." I said, "Man, are you committed to black belt?" I said, "Man, I am paying a lot. I'm a single dad, have a house payment, a car payment. Of course, I was driving a piece of junk, but it still was my car payment, and we was struggling, and." But they wanted to be black belts. So I said, okay, well let's go ahead and be a black belt. And once we got the red top, they changed, their whole attitude changed. They would practice at home without me saying, go practice. Natasha took Laquita on her arm and started working with her to make sure that, hey, you know, hey, let's do this. We're going to be black belts. We're going to be just like Miss Tomitori. She's 12 years old. She's a black belt. We're going to be a young black belt. Everybody's going to look up to us and going to call us Miss Lewis. And I would sit around and listen to them talk like that. And then we came with the Masters Club. The Masters Club was going to go to second degree. I remember you standing up and talking to us one day at Arvada, and you say, guys, I'm going to give you guys a Christmas present. You guys go to Masters Club. You have a lifetime commitment to in martial arts. I looked at my girl and said, man, I said, we are going to do this. We're going to go all the way. We ain't quitting. And I had met some friends along the way, Wilbur Sanchez and some other guys. And they say, yep, let's do this. So all of us, we joined Master Club. We want to stay in martial arts. We're going to become a way of life. And as a parent, that's what we wanted, and that's what we did. We made that sacrifice to make that happen. And now as an instructor, I know, I see all kind of parents. I see most of our parents are single parents. So I can feel empathetic with them because I know how they feel. I felt the same way and when we were coming through the ranks. And so if they just make that commitment, if they could just see the bigger pictures, look down the road and imagine what your kid is going to get out of this program, it won't be money wasted. It won't be money wasted. Today's money to what is going to come to the future, come to your child in the future, you can't touch it. As a matter of fact, I had a parent come in today. We had a young man, parent could not afford it. She could not afford it. I mean, I know she couldn't afford it. She took her kid out at Greenbelt. 6 months later, she was spending twice as much, three times as much, four times as much, trying to keep her teenage kid out of jail. Now they have to send him to kind of like Peace Corps, something like that. And she said, Master Lewis, when he was here, he gave me respect. He went to school every day. She says, the worst thing I ever did was to take my child out of martial arts, but I didn't see it.
Yeah. And the long-term outcome, and I always like to explain to parents, obviously, you know, we're running martial arts schools, and obviously we feel like it's in our best interest, and parents are going to feel like it's in our best interest to talk them into it. But the ultimate outcome and the ultimate verification is to talk to any black belt in the organization, watch any black belt class, talk to any black belt parent, read the feedback that we have, watch the video or the audio tape, and most importantly, go tap them on the shoulder and say, tell me about whether this was worth it or not, and tell me why you did this, and tell me what you achieved. And universally, there will be no exceptions. They're going to hear the same type of things that we're talking about here.
Absolutely.
We have never had a black belt and never had a parent of a black belt who said, yeah, I just wasted 4 years and wasted a lot of money and wasted a lot of time on doing this because we didn't get anything out of it. Never happened. Hasn't happened in 22 years. Won't happen in another 40 years. Let's talk to some of the other instructors here. Do we have some other questions that have been brought up in the schools recently that we haven't addressed? I mean, we've been on the phone for quite a while, but is there anything we've missed here? Master Brown?
Go ahead.
We have a bunch of great students in our school here in Inglewood. But I have one parent that had a question for me and said that, you know, her student is a straight-A student. He's doing great in school. He's doing great at home and, you know, wants to know what other things leadership will add to that. And I was wondering, you know, what you would say.
Well, and I'm going to go first here, Master Lewis. The number one thing I think, and we have over the years, as most people know, we've worked really tightly with the school systems. Our third black belt in the foundation of Mile High Karate was Dr. Lorenzo Trujillo, who was Director of Humanities for Jeffco Schools, was in the running for superintendent for Aurora Public Schools, works right now with Adams County Schools. And what we were finding is in the school systems, there's two ends of the spectrum where the kids end up having problems eventually, and that's the gifted and talented group, and that's the kids who are at the lower end of the scale. And what martial arts does for kids at any level, but especially for the kids who are at the high end, is it provides an ongoing positive peer group. And as all parents know, as a child moves through middle school and moves through high school, they're at risk of interacting with, befriending, associating with people who don't share the attitude, the values, the philosophy that the parents have, and may have a negative mentality towards school, may have a negative mentality about their own health and well-being, whether that be drugs and alcohol and cigarettes or whether that's just some other type of abuse, and are possible to develop a negative attitude. And what our black belts have is they have an extremely powerful peer environment where there's an awful lot of peer pressure, and the peer pressure is towards doing well in school and living a healthy lifestyle and succeeding in a very positive manner with a very positive attitude. It doesn't take much observation to look at the black belts and how they interact to see that. So no matter where you're at on the spectrum, you always need to be looking for that positive peer group and looking for that developmental process. You know, second is, even if a child is already an A student, that doesn't mean that they have a place where they can be a mentor and they can be a leader and they can have public speaking skills. And there's very few places that I know of that they can learn how to motivate other people, to be effective and persuasive with other people, to lead by example and to set a positive example for other people. And you know, those skills carry over into absolute everything. Master Lewis, what would you add to that?
I would agree with you 100% that the skills that we learn at Black Belt and, well, skills we learn through martial arts will follow you the rest of your life, and through college, through your work life, through home life. I agree with you 100%. That's,
yeah, you know, my own experience, I started training when I was 10 years old and ended up as a National Merit Scholar and an A student in high school and, you know, getting an honor scholarship to college and then working my way through college in Washington at Georgetown. But I attribute that to martial arts rather than being, you know, because I certainly wasn't a very good student going into the process, and I attribute martial arts into making me into a good student, developing a high level of confidence where I didn't have a very high level of self-esteem or confidence when I started. But for the kids who are already sailing along and doing a great job, and you know, there's a lot of kids who are going to become great kids and great adults without martial arts training, but it's that extra support mechanism and that extra assurance that the peers are going to be good peers, that the development and attitude and leadership skills are going to be there, and success skills are going to be taught in a real focused and scientific way. Daphne, did that help a little bit?
Cleared it up for me. I mean, that's basically what I told our parents.
Yeah.
I just wanted to give her some feedback on, you know, what everybody else would say.
Sure, sure. Any other instructors, any parent questions that we've had that we haven't addressed so far? No? Okay.
Well, I do have another
one. Go ahead, Daphne.
I had a... another one of our parents, because we had talked about it, and their child is very interested in becoming in the leadership program, but their child's 7 years old. It's like my daughter. When she decided that she wanted to do it, the only reason she could give me that she wanted to go into the Master Club is because she wanted to wear a black shirt.
Yeah.
And just like with Master Lewis and his kids, the minute she did put on that black top, that's all she talked about, is that she wanted to be a black belt at age 7.
Mm-hmm.
So that was pretty good. But one of the questions that I get from my parents, one of my parents, is they're in the basic and orientation program. They want to know, you know, they asked me if they could just keep in that program and also still become a black belt.
Oh, okay. Well, and there's two questions buried in there. One is, does a 7-year-old really benefit from the type of leadership training we're talking about? And so you're talking about whether it's a 4-year-old, 5-year-old, 6-year-old, or 7-year-old. You know, does a child that young, are they really going to benefit from that type of leadership training, or is it really too much over their head too young? And I think the proof in that is, if you look at the kids that we're having who are 6, 7, 8, 9 years old, who are getting their black belt, and they're able to run a class of 20 or 30 or 40 people, and they're able to interact in a leadership role with other kids their own age, and they're able to step up the plate and really not only take responsibility for themselves and do things without having to be told, but to lead, persuade, and support other kids who are peers or even older than they are in a very, very effective and focused way. So it's a marvelous outcome for them. You know, the other question is can I just stay in the orientation process and eventually be a black belt? And, you know, the answer is no. We've designed the program to have two tracks. Track number one is I'm going into a trial basis. I'm going to be in martial arts for 12 months, and I'm moving on to something else. And the orientation basic class, if somebody takes that track, is designed to make sure they get some permanent benefit from the martial arts training, that they've learned some skills they can apply, they've learned some mental attitudes and habits that they can apply, and they've learned some life skills that are going to be a positive influence on them from then on. But it's not designed to get them to black belt. The Master Club and the Leadership Program are like the college prep program that are designed with the curriculum and the focus in mind to get somebody to black belt and beyond. And that's why by the time somebody's an orange belt, we want to make sure they're either on the black belt path, and therefore we've put all the pieces together to get them to black belt, or they've just decided this is a good thing to have a foundation in. And if that's the case, and again, being a black belt isn't for everybody, and we don't, you know, suggest that it is. But if that's the case, we want to make sure that the year orientation into martial arts is going to have been valuable, and they're going to learn foundational skills that are going to be useful both in life skills, focus and discipline, and also in the martial arts training and self-defense application. And we're going to have to wrap up here in a couple seconds. Any other questions that we haven't addressed adequately?
You know, Master Oliver?
Yes.
I actually had a question the other day, you know, because we are a fairly young location.
Yes.
Not a young school, but this location proximity right here is pretty young. How do I know that you're going to be long, you know, here long enough for my son to become a black belt?
Oh, okay.
How would you answer that? And particularly, I do pretty well, but how would you articulate that better?
Well, I think that's a, you know, an excellent question, and anybody doing their due diligence should ask that question. And you know, the proof is in the fact that we're coming up on our 22nd anniversary coming up next year, and Mile High Karate has never had anybody training to black belt who hasn't been able to follow through, and frankly, the schools are so busy and growing so fast this fall, there's, you know, I don't think there's any likelihood that any particular location either won't be very, very highly successful. As you know, Amanda, our objective is to grow to 15, then 18, then 20, then 27 locations in the greater expanded metropolitan area. And so we're going to be adding locations. And, of course, we have 9 locations now. But, you know, we've had a tremendous success rate, both with the schools and with our position in the industry, but most importantly with the student success over the years. So I'd say the likelihood is essentially 100% that not only will Mile High Karate be here, but that there will be a location that will be there to satisfy their needs. Now, certainly over the years, we've moved locations, you know, a couple blocks down the street or across the street based upon, you know, buying real estate or moving locations and so forth. We've had a couple shopping centers that were renovated and we had to move across the street, but we're definitely going to be here for the long haul, and the proof of the thousands of people that we've developed through the process and the, you know, hundreds of black belts that we have currently in the program is certainly proof of that, you know, looking in historic, but we're on a roll, so we're going to be here for the long term.
Absolutely. Okay, great. Thank you.
Yeah, you bet. And is there a last question, or do we need to go and wrap up here?
Master Oliver, this is Master Gonzalez.
Yes, Master Gonzalez.
I had one question, and I had to step away for just a second, and you may have answered it already, but I had a father ask me today, you know, he said, my son's only 5, you know, is he really going to, you know, benefit from this?
Yeah, and we were talking about that in the terms of leadership. And, you know, Master Gonzalez, as you know, I have a 3.5-year-old. And, you know, all of the educational research shows that, you know, the younger a child is, the faster they learn. And the adult reaction to the younger children is that they're not learning or they're not making very good progress. And it's an interesting paradox that as you watch a 3-year-old or a 4-year-old or a 5-year-old in a classroom, that they may seem to be lost or perplexed or not keeping pace. But as we've seen over and over and over through the years, and of course we just had Brian Sutchie get his black belt at 6 years old. We just had Nico Johnson get his 4-3 black belt at 16. He was a six-year-old black belt. Obviously Laquita, who was, what was she, Robert, about 2.5 feet tall when she got her black belt.
Right.
Little bitty thing. And we have seen over the years that, you know, a five-year-old now who's going to be a black belt when they're eight, it's just there's nothing more powerful than that, because what they're going to have developed over that process is going to be so dramatic, and their rate of absorbing the material is just incredible. Now, again, they don't overtly show it for a while. You know, it may take, like in Nico Johnson's case, I think it took like 20, 24 months before it really looked like he was getting it. But by the time he got to his black belt in second degree, he was phenomenal. And other parents are going to find exactly the same thing. They're going to find that their child may take a while to really get the idea, but once they get the idea and put all the pieces together, that the growth rate and the outcome is just outrageous. And, you know, you don't have to look very far to look at the many, 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 many 6-, 7-, 8-year-old black belts we've had recently and see how much they've accomplished to know that. And, again, as you know from your own experience, you know, the younger they start, you know, up to a point, you know, we haven't figured out how to teach a 2-year-old yet, but, you know, 3.5, 4 years old, when they get started at a young age, you know, the younger they start, the better their eventual outcome is. So it's just a phenomenal developmental process. And just think about how powerful it is to be a black belt in 4th, 5th, or 6th grade. I think we're going to have to wrap up here because we've gone about an hour, and sure, we've hit a lot of ground. Any one last question? No? Oh, hopefully we've hit just about everything that's on everybody's plate, or that, you know, hasn't been real clear. But again, there's a couple of things that start out as being very important. One is it's very important for White or Gold Belt for the family to make a decision long term to treat this as a school and to follow through and be really serious about this, because without that commitment to follow through, just like any other school, the success rate isn't good and the outcomes that we promise can't be achieved. Number two is all you have to do is do your own due diligence. Talk to black belts, talk to any of the families that we've dealt with on a long-term basis, or research Mile High Karate as much as you want. You'll find that, you know, none of this is just a sales pitch. It's the reality of what happens, and it's just up to the parents to make a decision on what it is they want to get out of it and make sure that it's tuned in with their philosophy. And on the third is, obviously, all children are going to lose interest one day and be excited the next day. And as long as you have a long-term outcome and a focused, regular class attendance, they will get a black belt and they will achieve an incredible amount. But mostly that's with parent and family support. Master Lewis, anything to add to that?
No, sir. I think we did a pretty good job
Of covering all the ground.
Absolutely.
You know, if there's any other question, parents are welcome to email it or ask the instructors. And what we're doing with this and then replaying it is just to help deal with the load of the number of new students that we have, because as Amanda talked about our longevity, we're growing fast. And
we are growing fast.
An awful lot of new students in the system. And as we've talked about with our instructors, we have about 500 people that we're trying to, you know, explain the process and let them make a commitment and evaluate one way or the other on what we're going to do. And so it's a really exciting time and growth period for Mile High Karate, but it's also a challenge on resources. But anyway, I think we better wrap up for the night. We've been on here for a long time, and hopefully we've answered a lot of questions for people.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir, and good night, everyone.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, bye.
Night.